This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. In my career, I've worked in a number of different industries as a designer, and they've all been wildly different and incredibly enriching. I've worked in startups focusing on machine learning, artificial intelligence, adaptive algorithms to improve or create new healthcare medical devices, versus working in student loan finance and how to create better products and services so that borrowers don't feel like they're completely underwater in their repayment process, to also working in nonprofit organizations on creating a community of their members and being able to provide learning resources and continuing medical education for physicians, to my most current job right now, helping individuals in construction to have better lives, technology that enables them to do their work more efficiently, quickly, and safely. These are all wildly different experiences, and you know, there's a similar thread to all of them, is that the experiences that I am helping to create go out to a wide audience. In construction, there's several million individuals working in construction. And if I can help to make the construction industry safer and better, great. Working inside of student loan financing, at least in the United States, there are millions of people that have student loan debt, and they don't have great resources in being able to navigate the different programs and different services that would help them stay above water. So working in there also had a wide positive impact if it was done correctly. And everything else, healthcare absolutely is a vital pillar in our society. So anything inside the healthcare space has always been incredibly positive because of the ramifications of the work that I do that can help a wider audience. So I bring all this up because there was one area that I had worked in as a design professional that I felt had the most potential to have the greatest impact on a wide audience, and that was government technology and civic technology. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, some opportunities for government agencies and entities to really think about their services and think about how they can become more human-centered, as well as talk about opportunities for designers to be successful as a design professional in a government setting. So let's get into the value of design in government. So context here is I worked in a government technology company for 2.5 years, and I was focused in the state level work. I interacted with all of the state agencies in Pennsylvania and worked closely with a team of designers, front-end developers, researchers, content strategists to really think about the overall experience of government services and digital platforms that they were using that would help them in their work to help the wider audience, the public, everyone in the Commonwealth. And that is something that a lot of designers really have to take into consideration, is that unlike the product world, your audience in any sort of government service or platform or mobile app, whatever, is going to be much wider versus a product private sector mentality where you have a very key market that you're focusing on. Government services absolutely have to be wider in scope, and they have to take into consideration a lot more needs. So you're going to have a much more expansive audience and a much more deep level of understanding and needs of your users. Now, unlike the product world, government has a lot of services. Services are a little bit different from products. In the most base sense, a product is something that you sell and you're getting out to a key market that helps them do a certain thing. It's the most base definition of a product. You build it, someone wants to buy it, they use it, you continue marketing that product and trying to grow it. A service, though, is something that should be completely open and that people can utilize it at any time. And its funding mechanism is different. Many times with government services, those are funded through taxes, through the initiatives that different agencies are exploring and acting upon. That is all funded through taxes to implore and create these services by these agencies. Service has a wider scope, and most often than not, they're usually free, though some have convenience fees and things that you need just to do to make sure that they continue working. But the biggest difference is that they're not marketing something out and trying to sell you on other options. Government services should be open to everyone and everybody. So that's a big difference in the kind of work that you would be doing in government areas versus the private sector. Because you have to ensure that the service that you're creating is inclusive, is equitable, is understood by a much wider audience. I belabor that point because it's really important to understand when you're designing these scenarios, these user flows, whatever the experience and service is, you have to take in a much wider consideration. Most services are free. Some have, if you have payments that are included with it, sometimes there's convenience fees. But for the most part, the services are free and they're open to anybody. What's an example of this? Look at your vehicle registration. There's a service that you do have to pay a fee for, but it's open to everybody. If you live in your state and you have a driver's license and you have a vehicle and you need to have it registered, therefore that service has to be open for everyone. They're not keying it to a certain demographic. I guess they are people with vehicles. You need to have a vehicle to have it registered. But anyone who has a vehicle, you should be able to get it registered as you need to in your state, if your state requires registration like that. Other examples of services would be records, death certificates, marriage certificates, birth certificates. So different states have different levels of holding which records, and it could be a state that has that, could be your municipal, local government. Records such as that, that's something that's a service that you can freely utilize. So when you're thinking about these services, there's a greater, wider audience that's going to be utilizing them. They're going to have various different needs and motivations. They could be coming at it from various motivations and behaviors. So it's got a wider aspect to that. Oftentimes, when a government agency is creating a new service, or if they're revamping an older service, sometimes they have a pretty good idea why they need to create it. Sometimes it's also, we have an idea, we're not sure, let's just create it and find out. Very Silicon Valley startup, like fail fast, never learn mentality. And sometimes there is enough of a groundswell of information and support from the public saying, hey, we need this service, and then whatever appropriate state agency would feel like, yes, we're going to create this. And this also exists at the municipal, local level as well. So it's not purely focused on state, but you'll see this often in times with state government. This also exists at the federal level. And the federal level is a next level up of complexity, because now you're not just focusing on one state or a territory or a province, but now you're thinking about all the citizens within a nation. So same concept, just 10 times more difficult, and the scale is just that much larger. So it happens at all levels, but any agency that is going to create a service or revamp a service, you usually fall into a couple of different camps as to why. Maybe there is a groundswell from citizens, from the public. Hey, we need this service. This would be great if you created something like this. Or, hey, the service that you have now sucks and we want to see it improved. That could come from the public. That could come from internal audiences at agencies. So government workers that are seeing how people are utilizing the service and dealing with all the headaches. So they might be an audience that's bringing this up to bear. Also, it could be from competitors in this regard. And this was something that I did not realize was a thing, was that private sector companies that are offering services that do a better job than what government's doing. So a good example is DMV.com. DMV.com is a private website. It is a way for you to register your vehicles, do everything, without having to go to your actual Department of Transportation, or your DMV office to do this. It gives you all the information, and it's basically a trade platform. Like, it sends you to where you had to do this. So they do a better job of explaining what you need to do to register your vehicle, to update your license, all those things. They do a better job than most state DMVs. So often what happens is that the public will go to DMV.com and they will learn information, and then sometimes the information is not quite good, so they'll call and complain to the Department of Transportation, that state's DMV. And they're like, we're not affiliated with them. They're a third party. Like, we don't have a contract with them. So I did not realize that that's a thing, and that there is a way for a lot of private sector companies that are looking at how government services don't do a great job at their services, so they'll create a competitive service and basically pass through stuff. Another really good example of this, especially in government areas where they could be doing a much better job, is student loan finance. Now, student loan finance, all the companies that currently are doing the managing of the student loan business, they're all private companies. And they're doing this work in contractual agreement with the Department of Education. So they are servicers in lockstep with Department of Ed. Now, in the future, this is probably going to change. But currently, right now, there are companies that are preying on borrowers to be able to help them get into the right repayment plan and basically say, hey, pay us $1,000 or whatever, and we'll get you this lower payment. And they're acting as a middleman to basically get paid to do the work for a borrower, and then they go to that servicer's website and do all the information for them. Basically, the borrower is paying someone else to do the work for them, but they don't know that. Most times don't know that this third party that's doing that stuff is doing the same things that they could do for free, but they just don't know how to do it because a lot of the servicer's information's around repayment plans and different opportunities, they're written in a way that is not helpful to the borrower. And this brings me to my next point here with government services. There's a lot of acronyms, and there's a lot of processes internally about how these services are utilized. So another example for this would be starting a business in your state. What do you have to do to be registered as a business in your state? Some states, pretty easy to do. Florida, registering a business in Florida is a pretty straightforward process, getting all your information, your tax ID information, so you're recognized and you can hire individuals in Florida. Coming to Pennsylvania, you have to go to 5 different state agencies to get all of your paperwork together to be recognized and be able to have taxes done. It can be a process. Regardless of either of those states, whether it is easy or very complicated, you have to come into it with a level of understanding from the public side. You have to come into it with an understanding of how are they using these acronyms, what's the language you're using, what are they trying to get at, and oftentimes these services are created in a way that the internal audience at the government agency thinks about it. So they are creating the service the way they think they need to have it done, without having any sort of research or understanding what the actual public needs are. So this is where design can be incredibly helpful, especially around research, with the discovery of why do we need this thing? What are the current pain points? Now, it's going to be really hard for me to keep some of my own biases out of this, because a lot of times my experience in government was very flippant and reactionary. And I don't want to say that's carte blanche all the experience in government, but that's been a lot of my experience. And oftentimes when I was working with a state agency, I would run into, hey, we need to improve this service. And I'd ask, why? What is the impetus for this? Like, why are we talking about this? What data do you have to really identify that this is a problem? And I'm not asking these questions to get out of the work or be resisted. I'm really trying to understand. And oftentimes, in my experience, there wouldn't be a good reason. Oh, we heard this. Oh, cool. Do you have more information? There's a lot of subjective data or interpretation or just thought about why we either need a new service or why we need to improve a certain service. And as a designer, it's part of our responsibility to do that discovery and understand what the opportunities are, what the pain points are, so you can create a better service. This is where government can learn a great deal from design, is understanding discovery, trying to look at data in a way that can inform how you go about creating, improving, or updating an existing or a new service. Oftentimes, designers can come in and come up with these questions, start coming up with a research and discovery plan, and they might be met with resistance from their government counterparts. As in, why do we need to do this? We already know what's going on. We just need to do this. And this is where creating understanding and parity with your government counterparts so that you can be successful. And it's really all about communication and level setting expectations and coming up with a project plan that makes sense, that has metrics baked in so that you can showcase what's working, what doesn't work. And you may not always be in a position to identify if a service needs to be created. Many times in government, there might be the reason to create a service is not because there actually needs to be a service because that's what the public is looking for, but it might be purely motivated by we need to create this so that we continue having our budget the same next year. This can be difficult. Now, that was a very negative view of government services in this way about looking at how to create and improve existing or new services. A really positive one would be government looking at usage, looking at analytics, talking and understanding sentiments with the public, and identifying opportunities to improve a service or identifying the need for a new service. And I've worked with agencies like that that have looked at customer calls about a certain service, about how people are having a really difficult time and uploading information. We've had a lot of stuff around accessibility in this regard, how we create something that's easier to utilize. And there's a lot of times where those agencies that are really proactive are looking at their data, listening to customers, looking to the public, listening to people, and then coming up with a hypothesis of, here's what we've learned so far, here's what we need to identify and really create something that's going to be useful for our customers because of X. So they exist as well. And I have found that in that regard, it's a lot easier to work with an organization, an agency that takes that at least a data-informed approach versus a reactive, subjective thing. So both sides of that coin does exist. It's just important to understand that when you're dealing with the more reactive, resistive types that are not interested in delving into the why, it can be a little bit more legwork to get parity and to get understanding. But once you do, you are then able to walk them through how you're going to create these services, how you're going to create a better experience, and really define things out. And this is where designers can really shine in being able to look at not just the public experience, but also looking at the internal experience that government workers have to deal with as well. Take unemployment compensation right now. This is a very involved service that requires many different audiences to work in tandem to be able to create value and be able to get someone the compensation that they need and that they're applying for and submitting for. So let's look at both journeys here. Say you lost your job and you're going to apply for unemployment compensation or unemployment insurance or whatever your state calls it. From the public perspective, from the individual's perspective, this is a highly emotional time. This is a lot of urgency in their motivations, and they want to have a clear way to understand how they're going to be able to apply successfully and have clarity into what stage they are in this process so that they can start getting some sort of semblance, some sort of compensation while they're looking for a job. What's all involved with this? Typically, an individual would go to an unemployment insurance or compensation website run by their state government. They would have to apply. So they would have to create an account most often. It'd have to give a lot of background information of, you know, where they live at, what kind of work they did, whatever. There's a very long application process. That can be fraught with a lot of language that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why do I need to have certain information? What information do I need to come to this application with to be able to provide? And once you submit that application, the follow-up with where is your application at? How long should you expect for your compensation to come? What other checks go on? So what is that experience the whole way through for the individual? Now, let's take a look at the internal audience. Usually, there is a person that is in the agency that is reviewing a lot of this work, these applications, has to file things correctly, has to get these applications into the right departments to review and whatnot. And it's, even as much as you automate this process, it can still take time and has human intervention that needs to happen at various states. So many times you'll have different departments that would be taking the intake of these forms, reviewing them, reaching out to the folks that might be having incomplete applications, might have people doing the customer success, or dealing with calls from people who have applied. And oftentimes these same individuals might be doing other tasks as well. So you might have someone who's actually in the agency world, looking through all these applications, ensuring the correct information, double checking, verifying this information, basically approving, pushing this forward. And they may also be taking on other responsibilities as part of this work. When they're doing that at scale, they could be processing anywhere between 100 to 200, 300 applications a day. So it can be incredibly tough and incredibly mind-numbing. And that process is fraught with a lot of risks and a lot of leaks because you might not be spending as much time looking at one application, reviewing all the information, verifying all that information, then being able to pass it off for the next stage of the application. So there's two journeys that are going on there. And a good designer will look at both journeys. How can I make this a better experience for the public? And then how can I make this a better experience for the internal agency audience so that we can enable them in this work? The last thing you want to do is to create an experience as super incredibly helpful for one audience, but really dumps it on the internal agencies. And you want to make it easier for the internal audience to do that work so they are not as focused or invested in this stuff, doesn't take as much time. They can be more quick, they can be more efficient with their stuff. So this is incredibly important to consider as a designer, when you're thinking about improving a government service, is that your audience is wider. There are different needs. And many times in the past, why a service may be poor or really poorly thought out was oftentimes it was created in the mindset of the internal audience of how they want to see things and has actually created a really poor experience for the public because the public doesn't understand how this service was created in a way because it was really the ideation of the internal audience. You don't want your internal audience creating the services for the public in this regard because they're going to create it in a way that makes the most sense to them. And this leads to a lot of confusion and what you hear anecdotally about government bureaucracy. That is a joke that has been around for years and does have some semblance of reality because when you look at certain forms and certain applications. It just seems like a lot of red tape and a lot of issues that you need to get through. But was it created by a design team? Was it created by an organization that really thought about the public experience, the human experience, or was it created in a way that was the most understood by the internal audience? Walking through that, as a designer, you need to be very conscientious of where the service had come from, what the motivations are, how different audiences are going to consume, how they're going to interact, this dual layer of this customer journey that you're used to in the private product, you know, sector. So it's important to take that into consideration. Designers can really start to show value as well when they start to think about the return on the investment, thinking about the overall success of this service or platform that you're creating, whether it's something new or redoing an existing one. Oftentimes, in my experience, design is not understood in the regards that it has an immediate value for the agency. And they think it most of the times, like, oh, it's visual aesthetics in this regard. That's not always the case. There's a lot of agencies and a lot of government entities that see the value of design as something that creates a better experience for the public. But it depends on who you run into. So you still run into that in the government space, the value of design. And one of the biggest things, the biggest feathers in a cap in your arsenal as a designer is to think about how you can measure the effectiveness of your work when it's implemented. How can you measure how well the service is being utilized by the public? And you can use a number of frameworks around this. There's a sustained usability scale. That's one that's actually government services have been using for a while. Google's HART framework is a great way to look at how you can measure the effectiveness of your product, or your services usage. Also, you don't even have to use all of those. Just think about, like, how do we want to measure something? So if the goal is to have more online registration for your vehicles, how are we going to measure if our service, our new service, is going to be effective? Let's take a myriad of data points and also do some qualitative research to understand people's needs. So take a look at time on the page using digital analytics to see how long people spend on the application process, seeing how many applications are completely finished versus abandoned. And then following up with that, with talking with the public, asking them, do some research. I've recently gone through the vehicle registration process. Tell us what your thoughts were on the whole application process. Taking those and being able to look at, you know, the outcomes and being able to say definitively and report on, based off of the work that we did and based off of the data that we've collected, both quantitative data and qualitative data, here's the effects that has come out from this new redesign or this new service that we've created. When designers can really start to think about how they're going to measure the work, the value that they bring to a government agency through their services, that is very powerful, and it creates a number of things for your relationship with them. One, it solidifies to them that the value that design brings is tangible in many different ways, from savings of time, savings of money, savings of resource, having happier experiences with the public. Changing public perception about how they view government services is also a very powerful motivator there. So when you start to think about that in the context of design and in the business that government's trying to create and provide for the public, if you can think that way and talk about the outcomes of your work, you're going to then ingratiate government agencies to be more invested in the design process and also to extol how design can bring value to the agency. So you create great partners, you create opportunities for them to showcase the work, the value, the ROI on everything, and that way you can ingratiate the work and get even more investment into design when you're doing government work. And then lastly, the biggest thing that I would say about with government is that the work is always ongoing. Government services are open for everybody. Everyone needs to use them. They might have certain audiences, but anyone can be able to utilize them. The work is never done. Continuous investigation, continuous discovery, continuous research, and improving services should be baked into how government operates so that they can continuously improve their experiences. And often right now, you'll hear about government going through digital transformation, improving things, and there's been some great work that's been done around that, especially at the federal level. Great hero of mine in this regard is the U.S. Digital Service. Here is a part of the government agencies. They're working across multiple agencies. So U.S. Digital Service, 18F is another example of this. These two organizations are working to improve federal services, looking at Veterans Affairs and Health and Human Services. They're creating services that are incredibly needed and valued right now, and they're improving existing services so that they meet the needs of the audience, of the public. And through their work and showing the value of design, they are creating better services that the public all across the nation can utilize. I look at the U.S. Web Design System. This was a part of 18F and U.S. Digital Services, a federal enterprise design system to create a uniform look and feel, understanding of how different components are utilized so that it makes it easy for individuals navigating and utilizing these services online. We did the same work in Pennsylvania with the Pennsylvania Design Standards in the same vein and approach of creating a unified look, feel, and interaction with any government service, regardless, in a way that was built to be not only accessible, but intuitive. And with that service, a product, a thing that we created for the Commonwealth, we were looking at how government services can really focus on human-centered design and looking at how we can improve the experience for the public. And by doing so, we can create better experiences for the internal audience, those who work in those agencies. The work is never done. And that's what's also incredibly attractive for designers. If you're looking for work that is meaningful, that is always ongoing, look at government services as a way to have a meaningful, positive impact to a great wide audience, because you're never going to have something that is like a regular product in the private industry where you have your startup, your ramp up, your product market fit, and then eventual decline, and then you move on. These services are going to be time immemorial, and they may change in their kind of scope and how their delivery is done in the future, but they're part of our everyday lives. Until we have flying cars, we're still going to have vehicle registration. And chances are we'll probably have vehicle registration with flying cars as well. But with the changing pace of society and technology, new services are always being created. And that's an opportunity for designers to really come in and work with government agencies to step up these new services and actually lead how these services can be set up and configured and implemented so that they have a very positive effect, not only on the public, but also on the internal audience. Government agencies, this is definitely more for you. Some of you have a really solid understanding of the value of design, especially if you've come from the private sector before. You have a little bit more knowledge, but for those who are more lifers in the public sector and have been working in government and administration for a very long time, be open and understanding that the value of design is not just based around aesthetics and visual and subjectivity. The goal of design is to create better experiences, and this in turn will be a better experience for you as well. So understand that design is a partner. Design is just as much of a partner as your engineering and your developers. It is just as much of a partner as your communications teams, just as much of a partner as your policy teams and legal. They are a trusted partner that has a focus on creating better experiences. And good designers that you'll work with will understand the needs of legal, of communications, of software service delivery, of engineering. They'll understand those needs and take those into consideration when they are creating and crafting experiences. So that's my little spiel for government folks, is to be open with designers. And vice versa, designers, understand that government agencies have a lot of requirements, a lot of oversight, and sometimes can be slow. You can't ever get away from that in government, because there needs to be a lot more layers of approval and understanding, because the scope of the work is much wider than your typical private product organization. So be understanding. Learn from your government counterparts when you're working with them, and come up with ways that you can show your value and partner with them meaningfully and help them also advocate for your work when you can contextualize the work that you're doing and how it helps them. Now, I would be remiss if I did not make some shout-outs in regards to some of the OG titans that I have been following for a very long time in the civic technology, government space, that's doing some amazing work around showing the value and championing the value and advocating for design in government. In no random order here, some people that I've been following for a very long time that I would highly recommend that you also look up. Whitney Quisenberry, I feel like I just butchered that. Whitney is the Center for Civic Design and is the author for A Web for Everyone, Accessible UX. And I've been following Whitney for a great long time and used a lot of the resources that the Center for Civic Design has been putting out for years, especially understanding areas around form design, voting registration, and other services. So Whitney is someone I absolutely highly suggest that you follow and take a look at the work that she's been doing. Also, another lady titan in this area is Dana Chisholm. She's also been working for a long time, also part of the Center for Civic Design a while ago, and has been working in government agencies and working with the federal side for a long time, and has worked in a number of different facets, really advocating around research, creating workshops, and really training individuals in government to understand the value that user experience has in not only their mindset, but also how they create their services. Another person that I have been following for a very long time is Sid Harrell. Sid has a book that I highly recommend, A Civic Technologist Practice Guide, that literally is her brain dump of all her experiences and knowledges around creating principles of usability, human-centered work in creating government services, and not only from creating these services, but also how organizations can work and how they can reorganize in ways that are delivering and being more human-centered. Sid's also been working in the user experience design space for government for a long time, and is someone I look up to greatly as someone who's been there, who's done it, understands it, and has a lot of experience in helping out a newbie like me that's only had a few years in this industry or this sector. There's many people I'm leaving out. These are the three ladies that I really follow on the daily and have been cited their work for a lot of things in my own work as well. Use them as your jumping off point. Follow them on LinkedIn, follow them on Twitter, and use them as a jumping off point. And then learning about other organizations, US Digital Service, 18F, those are government initiatives. They are in government doing amazing design work and principles around design in government. And then from the private sector side, organizations that are doing some great stuff, Skylight Digital, Civic Actions, Ad Hoc, NAVA PBC, they're just some of the ones I'm thinking of right off the top of my head that really center on creating great experiences for governments, for military, and creating products and services and helping organizations become more human-centered in their approach and their work and how they organize. I'm definitely leaving out many others, but use these folks here as your jumping off point. Look at who they recommend, look at who they've worked with in the past, and look at some of the stuff that they've done. They've been a great inspiration for me in my career, even outside of the government space. There's many people I'm super forgetting about, but don't take this as there's not many people in this area. There's a lot of people that are doing some great work in government that when you interact with it, and it was great, there was a lot of thought, a lot of work to make that interaction a positive one. Designers, if you're super interested about government as an opportunity to grow and have a career that is meaningful and doing meaningful work, government services is something that is absolutely incredibly rewarding and can have a lot of meaning for your life. And for those who are in government now, who work in different areas from either project management, administration, whatever, have an open mind and welcome your design partners in and understand how the work that they're doing is going to help make the work that you're doing a lot more successful and efficient. And with that, I'm going to leave it here. We've covered a lot of ground in regards to what is some opportunities for government to really focus on and leverage the knowledge that designers can bring, and also for designers, understanding the motivations and the behaviors and the reasons why government goes about and approaches a certain type of work, and where you can fit into that process and prove out a lot of value. So with all of that, I want to say thank you so very much. I always appreciate everyone who listens to this show. You can find us on Twitter at Signal337, as well as on LinkedIn. Look up Signal337 and you can follow the show there. You can also do it by the old-fashioned way of Signal337.com. And if you want to have a conversation around this, share your experiences in government, or have any questions at all, feel free to hit us up on any one of those platforms. You can also feel free to hit me up at Azrael Group, Azrael Group, on Twitter, and you can just talk with me directly. And again, always, this is all my observations, my experiences throughout my career. They're not in total indicative of past work or present companies I work with. In this case, talking about some background about my work was context for talking about this topic, but everything is from my perspective and my experiences and are indicative of me. With all of that, I want to say thank you once more and have a great day.